Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. We have two special guests of honor today for our interview, and we start off with Mr. Richard Steele. He is the CEO of ICHCA, which is a cargo handling organization, a nonprofit based in London, UK. And our second guest of honor is Mr. Michael Yarwood. He is the MD for loss and prevention at the well-renowned TT Club, also in London, UK. To both of you gentlemen, first of all, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you. Thank you.
Starting with you, Richard, tell me, working for ICHCA and taking care of cargo handling and stuff like that, how come you are not sitting in a bank in the high street, or how did you get into this racket?
Good question. I started with the UK's largest port operator, the Associated British Ports, in training and safety roles there, and then moved into a role in the UK, basically doing for the UK what I'm now doing internationally for ICHCA, which is a trade association looking after health, safety and skills and raising standards collaboratively through the industry. So it's really been a progression from an organization to a national operation to now the international arena.
Okay, interesting. And how many years have you worked in your current position?
So the current position, I'm only a year in. The previous national one I did for about 11 years, and prior to that I was about 10 years with Associated British Ports.
Okay, very good, interesting. And Michael, also to you, how come you are where you are? Why are you not in a bank or in an accountancy firm in the city?
Very good question. My early career started off in logistics and transport, so mm-hmm. not in insurance. So operational management roles for around 13 years. Mm-hmm. And then in 2010, I took a sidestep into insurance, but insuring those risks that I was effectively helping to create in my operational days. And then I started off at TT Club in a claims focused role, working with transport operator members and logistics companies, and having that sort of practical understanding of what they do and how they do it and why things go wrong, but then applying obviously claims handling and the insurance aspect to it. More recently, got into the full-time loss prevention role, and again, really trying to make use of my earlier career and skill set in understanding the risks and then helping to sort of generate and disseminate good practice guidance to both our members and the wider industry, trying to avoid losses and mitigate risk effectively.
Okay, that sounds very, very, very useful and very noble, I should say. I mean, we all, prevention is better than cure, as they say. If I turn to you again, Richard, for our viewers around the world, many of them are, let's say, small and medium-sized forwarders. There are, of course, also a number of ship owners among them. What can you tell them about your organization? You said it's a non-profit, ICHCA, it's an association of cargo handlers. Cargo handlers, it's, you know, in shipping, it's a wide word. Tell me exactly who you represent, a typical company that everyone would know, or companies.
For example, we have Maersk, we have DP World, okay. A number of other players, MSC recently joined us. So there are a number of the largest operators, both ports, terminals, and also the shipping organisations or providers of those services. But we also have members who are trades unions and workforce representation in there as well. So we are not just about one particular group of people within the cargo handling or global supply chain. Okay. It's very much about working together, about everybody having a responsibility and playing a role within that continuity of health and safety throughout the supply chain. So we also have individual ports and terminals as members. We have associations and organizations and other sort of non-profit type operations. If you have an interest in raising standards, continually improving health, safety and skills throughout the supply chain, ensuring that people get to go home in the condition that they came to work in at the end of the shift, yeah. Then that's part of our community.
Okay, that's I think I used to live in China for about 15 years, and I work for Costco. I've been seeing some port operations there. There should be some customers in some Chinese portfolio, at least in the old days, but of course it has improved. But does it mean by extension of what you're saying that just because you're big, Maersk or MSC, even a small company can be part in your group? I mean, can get advice. Big doesn't mean that they get more attention. Anyone can become a member.
Yes, absolutely. We have right down to individual members. So individual professionals in the industry can join and be part of the mission. It's about sharing the knowledge and the expertise. We have three sort of key functions. We are a recognized NGO at the International Maritime Organization, so that in that role we are acting as the voice for the industry. We also have a suite of publications around various topics on safety. That might be handling containers, slinging, lifting, operations, work at height, a whole range of activities that take place in ports and terminals. And that library is available to provide a knowledge base that can be accessed on safety and skills and health and safety matters. And then our third sort of functional area is our what we call our ICHCA technical panel. And that's basically a collection of around about 80 professionals across the globe who have probably forgotten more about ports and handling and container operations than I'll ever know, or lifting, not just containers, but ro-ro operations, bulk cargoes, bulk liquids. So that group has this expertise that if you've got a problem or a question about how to manage safe operations involving handling cargo, if an answer exists, our technical panel somewhere within it will have that answer.
Yeah, so basically you are a bunch of professionals, to put it in another way, that really have gotten together, and you provide really something value for money. Is there a membership fee? Does people just sign up, or how does it work?
Yeah, so there is a membership fee, but as I say, we're a non-profit organisation, so any revenue that we generate feeds back into the organisation's services and activities. Okay. So yeah, and it will depend on the range of membership options. So it depends a little bit on what the organisation or entity is that wants to join, and what their role is in within the industry. Okay. and different grades or
understand. Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, there's a difference between a one-man surveyor company and Maersk Line, for example. So of course that's clear. And then turning to you, Michael, from TT Club, loss and prevention and insurance is let's say even us private citizens, or even we in shipping, we're always afraid of having insurances because they always tell us that we didn't read the fine print. But you know what I mean. But I know that TT Club has a very good name. And what can you tell our viewers about what you do or could do for them, in effect?
Okay, so if we start from the very beginning then, so TT Club was established back in the late 1960s. Effectively in the advent of containerization, and the remit really was to ensure the metal steel box itself, so the container itself. Since then, we've sort of diversified and now ensure a wide range of operation, but all through the logistics supply chain. So everything from the largest ports and terminals, as Rich has already mentioned, one or two names, yep, through to the container shipping lines and the container fleets, to freight forwarding operations, third-party logistics operations, mm-hmm, and also providing cargo insurance. So a really wide range and an extensive cover of insurance, but all within the niche of the international supply chain. Mm-hmm. We as I mentioned, we're a mutual liability insurer. And what that means is that we're owned and operated by and for our members, so that our board of directors is made up of our membership. And we're there really to serve that membership and provide the tailored cover that the industry need, hopefully avoiding those issues that you mentioned at the outset there around the fine print and surprises. Yeah. Being a mutual, we really do focus on loss prevention and really trying to understand the industry that we insure, and then deliver back to the membership and the wider industry good practice guidance, and again really focused on avoiding losses in the first place or certainly mitigating the risk. Okay. TT, as I mentioned, been around since the late 1960s and are a global operation effectively. So we insure operations all over the globe in through those sectors that I mentioned earlier.
Okay. And one thing that comes to mind, I mean, coming also from a freight forwarding background myself, I have one particular question. You know, the typical role of a project forwarder is that he would deliver door to door. Let's say you transport something from Southampton to central China, not only to Shanghai, but also inland. Would you also be able to cover insurance all the way to the final destination, or is it only port to port? Or
yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So we would be able to insure cargoes through there. Each risk is obviously okay. assessed on its own merit, but you know there is the capability to provide that type of insurance. Yeah.
Okay. And that means if let's say some of our viewers would like to know more about your company, they would like to have an insurance offer from you, then you would have a questionnaire they should fill in, how much they need to transport, or is it case by case, or do you sign up as a kind of a membership and then you ask, or how does one become a customer of yours?
the most common route would be to approach through their insurance broker. Okay. But effectively it's a route along sort of questions and an assessment up front, yeah, about okay. what their operation is, you know, the areas that they work within, the type of work they do, you know, air freight, road freight, rail freight, maritime only. But yeah, it would very much depend on a case-by-case basis, but the most common route certainly would be to approach through their insurance broker.
Okay. And then David, because you are kind of, let's say you are the center of the universe for this and people will then come to you. I mean, there are so many insurance companies around. I was just in touch with a few here the other day, and they're representing some certain insurers, but of course London seems to be the capital for insurance, doesn't it? I mean, there's some certain know-how there.
It's certainly an area of expertise that that the City of London, yeah.
So we let's say if any viewers come to me and ask, oh, this was an interesting interview, I would like to know more about this, should I tell them they can approach you direct, or might I tell them that go to your own company and tell them to talk to TT? What is the best way?
Usually I would suggest through their own company and ideally through their broker, okay. insurance broker. Just as happy for people to reach out direct. Yeah.
Okay. So then turning back to you, Richard, another question concerning cargo handling. Of course, we all saw with amazement on what happened in the port of Beirut not long ago with a massive explosion. There's been some also horrific ones in Tianjin in China not so many years ago. These things that do happen, are there any let's say limits to how much one can risk, or are there any guidelines as to, you know, if you ship into a certain place, let's say we have a project or some of our viewers have a project to a certain place, could they find guidance from you on a particular country? Or if they ask you, they say, we have this project going into Burkina Faso, for example, are there some risks going via this or that port in West Africa? Is that something that, where you can help them? Or give them guidance?
We wouldn't normally identify a sort of risk profile for a particular port or region or national location. What we do have, and we've developed this with a number of partners, is a warehousing white paper, for example, which was in response to the incidents that you described. Yes. There. Yeah. And that is a package of, well, it's a combination of a white paper and a checklist. And this could be used by, say, an organization who is looking to utilize resources in country in a particular location or a particular warehouse. And they could go through that checklist with their potential service providers the port that's handling. And it's designed as a generic piece, so it's not going to be minutely applicable in every case to every regulatory framework. But it would have a checklist in there, for example, what are the regulatory frameworks that apply, and understanding what are the key risk areas. So for warehousing, that would be things like fire prevention and stock control and security and construction and handling and storage and knowledge and understanding of what cargoes and materials can or should be placed in proximity, what are the special controls that you might need to have in place for hazardous goods, what sorts of security might you want to have in place, how do you ensure training for the personnel to ensure that they have the level of competence that you as a customer would expect
The reason why I think it's very important what you're telling me here, because by extension, as I mentioned, many of our viewers, they are project forwarders, and they are a lot of the customers I have looking at this, because what's very important, let's say I give you a case example, a middle-sized forwarder in the UK goes to a customer in Southampton, as I mentioned before. The customer wants to give the cargo to this middle-sized forwarder. And then, of course, the middle-sized forwarder, who may not have the global reach, but if he can show that he is observant on these points that you are mentioning now, he will be a lot more, let's say, impressive to his potential customer. So what I'm trying to say is that as a forwarder, we need to move the cargo from A to B or door to door. But if we sound like, or the forwarder sounds like he is really caring about these things and not only price, his customer might be more inclined to give him the business. And in that way, the forwarder could learn from you, from this white paper that you have, or checking these things instead of just taking for granted that some warehouse in Nigeria is good enough. You know, you know what I mean?
Yes, and I wouldn't want to pin it down to any particular location or frame, but you're effectively, you're taking a set of good quality questions or topics to think about. And some of them may be relevant, some of them may not be relevant to your particular cargo or the type of operation that you're visiting or using. But it gives you a framework, a starting point. It's a collection of things so that you sort of start to be able to understand what it is you don't know and what you need to find out more about before letting a contract or taking on a relationship with a service provider.
I think this is important because as you see in shipping, things are growing bigger and bigger. I mean, the lines are flush with cash. They are buying up everything from airline to hospitals, in the most recent case with MSC. So I'm trying to be the voice for the smaller ones. That's why I'm asking. So thank you for that, Richard. Michael, over to you. What would you, let's say again, that middle-sized project forwarders with that project out of Southampton, what would you need to know from him in order for you to give a quote or to offer him insurance for his door delivery, let's say to Africa? What do you typically need information-wise in order to go further?
So typically our policies are sort of an annual policy and company-wide, so we would insure all of their operations throughout the year effectively. But it would be sort of the practical aspects of where the commodity, what the cargo is, how it's going to be handled to the point where it's put on a ship or the airplane or whatever it's going on, and then the route and where it's going to and what the plans are and the various different aspects at destination. And I suspect my experience over the years, at least, is it's usually at destination where things get the trickiest, whether it be sort of, fewer options around infrastructure, roadways, bridges, that kind of thing. So it would be obviously a case-to-case basis, as most projects are, unfortunately. So no one size fits all option. But like I said, the vast majority of our policies are annual policies to cover the business's legal liability effectively through their operation. So it may well be that we would have to inquire specifically around Project Cargo movements, but the vast majority of our freight forwarders are moving standard commodities around the world, and therefore they have this sort of blanket annual policy to cover.
But if you move the project cargo, that's not everyday business, but that's a one-off once a year or twice a year with a heavy turbine or stuff like that, then people can get a tailor-made solution just for that project from you, couldn't they?
From us, possibly not, no. So they might be able to acquire a cargo policy from us. Oh. But it, like I said, our main focus is sort of annual policies for the client.
Okay.
Okay.
And I understand that you are also a member of Ichka, right? I mean, you are one of the members there. Yeah, so in a way, the two of you, even you are in separate companies, you provide a high quality, I mean, with a proper cover and a proper prevention, even though you are sitting in prevention, Michael. But it seems to me, if we listen to you, Richard, there is a lot of prevention there already. we would be in a good, the customer would be in a good spot with the two of you.
Absolutely, yes. And around the world, there is so much cargo handling going on that is successful, that just happens. There are no incidents. There are smart, effective people doing that job day in, day out, delivering the sort of high throughput. High throughput handling and safe handling of cargo. So what we're trying to do, what's key for us, is building on the successes that are already there, building on the expertise and knowledge, and sharing that, and making sure that what's known in one place is known elsewhere. Okay. We're sort of part of the challenge is to make sure that we learn lessons once, make sure that they stay learnt, and that we learn them fast. And if we can do that as part of a network, it's about continuous improvement, getting better.
I can say, Richard, I've been married three times, and I didn't learn much the first two times. But of course, that's not the same as cargo, right? So anyway, as I said, here in Project Cargo Weekly, we sometimes have light moments because it makes the interview more alive. So don't worry, I am telling the truth. I wish I knew you before. And my final question coming up here, if I start with you again, Richard, COVID, I know nobody wants to talk about that boring thing, but has that influenced your business at all, if I may ask?
Yes, it absolutely has. So we've been required to really raise our game in terms of communication and engagement and operating internationally, and in a way that was safe to do so, and we could continue to sustain the operations, particularly during the periods when lots of people were in a sort of lockdown or different states of lockdown. In practice, I think what it's helped us to do is, because we have an international audience, is get better at communicating and sharing and being more effective in the role. Clearly, I would need a budget the size of a small country to be able to travel around the world visiting all of our members on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis. So we have got better at that, I would argue. And that's been a positive side effect from what was a terrible and difficult time.
Good to hear. The same question to you, Michael. What? How has COVID, if any, inflicted on you? Or what has it inflicted or not on you?
I think very similar experience to Richard. I mean, historically, a lot of our guidance documents and loss prevention material was written, paper based. I think what the last 2-3 years have done is really help us fast track through, an evolution, as it were, through to delivering webinars, podcasts, animations, all a variety of different media that was always on our aspiration list to do, but almost having to face that, you know, with a very short time frame and in unusual circumstances, I think it's really helped us to fast track through to where we are today, which is, you know, providing guidance over multiple different media. It makes everything more accessible to a greater, you know, a greater audience. And again, as Richard alluded to, it's ours is a global audience, so it breaches time zones. And yeah, we I think we've really sort of taken the positives out of like Richard said, what was a very difficult time.
And of course, it certainly helps the small and medium-sized players because nobody, as you mentioned earlier, nobody can afford to travel around the world forever. To me, even we like to meet face-to-face, but just this interview is an example of this. I hardly did an online interview before Corona, so it's really good. I must say, I've been very impressed by both of you and the answers you have given to, even you were not really prepared about the questions, and that's the style in Project Cargo Weekly, but I think you both come across as well-meaning and knowing what you are doing to our viewers, and I'm quite sure they'll be happy to see it once we publish. I want to say for the record, first of all to you, Richard, many thanks for joining.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Michael, and the very same to you. Many thanks.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for the kind invite.
Most welcome. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview, of course, I have to say like that, with Project Cargo Weekly. And our special guests of honor today have been the CEO of ICHCA Ichka, Mr. Richard Steele, and also the MD for Loss and Prevention at TT Club, Mr. Michael Yarwood. We thank them very much for an excellent job, and stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.